Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. This is the reading of God's Word. Now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the Word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake. But the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little away from the land. And he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered and said, "Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing, but I will do as you say and let down the nets." When they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not fear. From now on you will be catching men." When they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Amen. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word. Let us not only understand but believe and also obey your word. Through your word, let us see what your Son has done, so that we may rejoice and give you all the glory and thanksgiving. And through your word, let us have fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Father, bless all of us that your word will be preached correctly and that Jesus Christ will be exalted. We thank you. Receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. After performing many miracles in chapter 4, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, calls his disciples in chapter 5. The reality of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the reality of heaven is being witnessed in our passage. The kingdom of God has begun, and the citizens of that kingdom are now being gathered. Thus, the kingdom of God furthers itself. The Messiah has come and accomplishes his kingdom. And the glory and the power of that kingdom, however, is hidden in this world. The kingdom of God is not accomplished like the worldly kingdoms, not through the weapons of this world. And in our passage today, Jesus Christ is gathering his disciples. But that gathering story is centered on Peter. Now, through these disciples who are gathered first, Jesus Christ gathers the other citizens of the kingdom of God. And before we start with the verse 1, there is something that I would like to mention. which I don't want to do it, but it comes out so often that I'll do it time to time, even though before I said I'm not going to do this anymore. There are so much discussions on the differences among the similar stories that we find in the Gospels, four Gospels. And here, Mark chapter 1, verse 16 through 20, has the story of Jesus gathering Peter and his brother Andrew and James and his brother John. But in our passage, Andrew is missing. In Luke, we see Jesus teaching and then calls Peter. But in Mark, Jesus calls Peter as he was just going along by the sea. In Luke, the fishermen were washing their nets, as we read, but in Mark, James and John, they were in the boat mending the nets. Are they the same event or two different events? There are so much discussions on this, and I believe that is not beneficial for us to discuss all of them here. As a preacher, that kind of topic is not what I want to preach to you. And many compare the event in our passage with John chapter 21, which has the event of Jesus Christ appearing to his disciples after his resurrection. Some people say that Luke actually changed that story in John chapter 21 to write our passage and tells it as if this event happened before Jesus' resurrection, even though it didn't. That's what they say. We believe that the different authors have different perspectives on the same event. Thus, the stories might seem different in some parts, but they are the same event. What is for sure is that no author of the Bible will create a story even though it never happened. Because doing so is a falsehood, and there's nothing like that in the Bible. And what we believe is that the Bible is the inerrant and infallible Word of God. Every event in the Bible is the true event in history. And as a preacher, my purpose is to preach the truth, to preach the word, not prove the word. And that's a very important concept for me to have. I'm not here to prove to you the word. I'm here to preach to you, proclaim to you the word. Yeah, God never says to go out and prove it. No, you go out and proclaim it. Because believing is the work of the Holy Spirit. And even if I provide the evidences, the non-believers will never be satisfied with what I provide. To me, mending the nets and washing the nets can happen at the same event, but Luke only mentioned about washing the nets, and Mark only mentioned about mending the nets. I don't know why that kind of thing is a problem. It is not the proof that the two events are the two different events. It is actually the same. But for those who are looking to say that the Bible is not the Word of God, whatever explanation that we will provide, it will never satisfy them, and God doesn't even want us to do that kind of stuff. Our job is not about proving the word. Our job is to proclaim. Of course, there is responsibility that we have to defend the word. But it is defending, but not make sure that that person will understand and believe because of our defending. No, that's not the purpose. Because no one will believe the Word of God just because we defended it. They will believe because of the work of the Holy Spirit. That's it. Well, anyway, we begin with verse 1. Now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. Many people pressed around Jesus Christ to listen to the word of God. Now what was Jesus preaching? Well, according to chapter 4, verse 43, he was preaching the kingdom of God, the gospel of the kingdom of God. And here, this event happens at the lake of Gennesaret. In the Old Testament, it is translated, that same lake is Kinnereth or Chinnereth. John has it as a Tiberias. But to us, it is known as the Sea of Galilee. So, Sea of Galilee had all these different names. But it is happening at the Sea of Galilee. So, that I think you know and I know. So, verse 2 and 3. And he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake. But the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way from the land, and he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. So you kind of, you are able to see what is happening. So he's sitting in the boat, little away from the shore, and people are standing in the on the land, and then Jesus is teaching from the boat. Now, verse 4 through 7, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Simon answered and said, Master, we work hard all night and caught nothing. But I will do as you say and let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them, and they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. Now, Jesus says to Peter, put out into the deep water and let down your net. Now remember that Peter and his companions here, they are the professional fishermen. And they have worked very hard all night and they caught nothing. And now Jesus comes and says, tells them to put down their nets at the same location. It doesn't make any sense to Peter with his expertise. But Peter says, I'll do as you say. Peter just obeys Jesus. And we could get into the topic of how do you do your ministry. It's not too much of your thinking process, what makes sense or what doesn't make sense, but it's all about obeying His word. Now, we could go on with that, but today's story is not about that, actually. It's about gathering His disciples, so we'll move on. But you could see from here, you just obey God, even though it doesn't make any sense, and all that learning that you have done in school or whatever will say, no, I should not do it that way. But if God says it, then you obey. That's how we do the ministry. Okay. And they caught a great quantity of fish. So many, their nets were breaking. So they had to call the other boat to help them. And both boats are now filled with so many fish that they begin to sink. Now Peter sees all this. And he realizes who Jesus is. By the grace of God, of course. And Peter realizes that Jesus is the Lord God who even controls everything in this universe. Matthew chapter 16, verse 16 through 17, Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." So the Father who is in heaven reveals to Peter who Jesus Christ is, and Peter realizes who he is. So, verse 8, "But when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, 'Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.'" Peter, by the grace of God, as he realizes who Jesus is, he also realizes how sinful he is in the sight of Jesus. And this is always the case. Once you realize how holy and righteous our God is, then you will also realize how filthy you are in the sight of that God. It's when you don't understand who God is that you will take lightly your sins. I give, probably you heard this so many times. You know, me hitting my son. Let's say I slapped him. And after that, I slapped our president. The slapping is the same sin, if you want to call that sin. I slapped my son, I slapped the president. Even though it's the same action, the consequences are different. Because whom am I hitting? That determines the consequences. See, me hitting my son is nothing. But if I hit the president, it's a serious sin. Now, if you hit God, you got to understand how serious that is. But it's only when you realize how great, how high, how mighty, how holy, and how righteous God is that you will realize your little sin is how great sin in His sight. So if you don't understand how great God is, you're going to always think your sin as if it's nothing. You will not take it seriously. And it's a grace of God that He reveals this to you so that you realize how sinful you are in the sight of God. Some of you, I don't know, maybe you don't even feel that you have sinned so much that day, whatever day you like yesterday. When right before you go to sleep, did you realize how sinful you are, how filthy sinner you are? Or it was just nothing to you? But it's by grace of God that you realize this. That way you will realize how great His love for you truly is.
So soon as Peter realizes who Jesus is, he says, "Go away from me, for I am a sinful man. I cannot handle your presence because I am a filthy sinner." See, this is the same confession from all the sinners who are given grace by our God as they meet God. We see this all the time in the Bible. Isaiah 6:5, Isaiah, when Isaiah meets God, then I said, Isaiah saying, "Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Job chapter 42, verse 5 and 6, "I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore I retract and I repent in dust and ashes." Again and again you will see when sinner meets God, and when God the Father reveals to that sinner who God is, they will see how filthy sinners they are. The sinners who are obeying the true calling of God, calling by God, always confess how sinful they are and repent of their sins. That's just natural reaction when you meet God and you realize who that God is. And we're going to talk about this way later in chapter 7 of Luke. Because you will see a woman who comes to Jesus and repents of her sin. Compare yourselves with these people in the Bible who are meeting God. And compare their repenting of their sins in the sight of God and your repentance. And if it's different, you need to ask yourself, why is it different? How come my repentance doesn't seem like what I see in the Bible? Ask yourself, why? And ask God to truly, truly bless you. Pour out His grace that you may see how holy and righteous God is and how filthy sinner you are. Without knowing that, your repentance will be always just, it will seem trivial to you. It doesn't mean much. Verse 9 and 10, "For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, son of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not fear, for now on you will be catching men.'" All are amazed. Fear came to them. Fear seized them as they see the Creator God controlling the creation that He has created. But here Jesus says to Simon, "Do not fear, for now on you will be catching men." In Mark we read, "I will make you become fishers of men." This phrase, "the fishers of men," just by reading that phrase, we could kind of see what Jesus means, right? Jesus will make them fishers of men. But if we see its deeper meaning, then we will also know much more how it shows God's grace that is upon us. The fishers of men, who are they? We have to go to Old Testament to understand this, fishers of men. Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 16 through 18. "Behold, I am going to send for many fishermen, declares the Lord. And these fishermen, what are they going to do? And they will fish for them. And afterwards, I will send for many hunters, and they will hunt them from every mountain and every hill, from the clefts of the rocks. For my eyes are on all their ways, and they are not hidden from my face, nor is their iniquity concealed from my eyes. I will first doubly repay their iniquity and their sin, because they have polluted my land, they have filled my inheritance with the carcasses of their detestable idols and with their abominations. Now from that passage, you realize that in the Old Testament, the fishers of men are the instrument of God's judgment. The fish that are fished ultimately die. The Jeremiah passage is about God's judgment upon Israel. And in Ezekiel chapter 29, verse 3 to 5, we see the judgment of God upon the whole world. Speaking and says, thus says the Lord, behold, I am against you, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, the great monster that lies in the midst of his rivers, that has said, my Nile is mine, and myself have made it. I will put hooks in your jaws and make the fish of your rivers cling to your scales. And I will bring you up out of the midst of your rivers, and all the fish of your rivers will cling to your scales. And I will abandon you to the wilderness, you and all the fish of your rivers. You will fall on the open field, and you will not be brought together or gathered. I have given you for food to the beasts of the earth and the birds of the skies. One more place, Amos chapter 4 verse 2, the Lord God has sworn by His holiness, behold, the days are coming upon you while they will take you away with meat hooks and the last of with fish hooks. So the picture is that using the fish hooks, God will fish you out into judgment. So what is happening? In the Old Testament, fishers of men, they are the instruments of God's judgment. And God says to Peter and the disciples, I will make you the fishers of men. What is Jesus saying then? But you need to understand what Jesus is doing. Through what our Lord Jesus Christ has done and what He has accomplished, the instrument of God's judgment now has changed into the instrument of God's grace and blessings. Now in Christ, the fishers of men has become the instrument of God that fishes His people from death into eternal life. Fishes His people from this world into heaven. And all the people of God who are gathered into heaven are called to participate in this holy work of the fishers of men in fishing God's chosen people out of death into eternal life. The new age has come. The judgment has become blessing in Jesus Christ. We'll go back to Luke chapter 5 verse 11. When they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and they followed Jesus. Mark chapter 1, verse 20, same event. There it says, immediately He called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went away to follow Him. Luke says they left everything and followed Jesus. Mark says they left even their father. They left Him and followed Jesus. See, in this world, if you do this, if you do what you see these disciples has done, they will call you brainless, stupid. They will call you an undutiful child, ungrateful child. How can you left your father and follow Jesus? But that's what they did. That's why the world will never understand Christianity. They will not like it. And our job is to preach the whole Bible, not just verses that you think the world might like to hear. But even those verses, if you tell it truthfully, they're not going to like it. They will never like any verse in the Bible. But the Bible is very clear. The kingdom of God, the citizens of that kingdom of God, what do? According to the Bible, they follow the king of that kingdom of God. Revelation chapter 14, verse 4, these are the ones who have not been defiled with woman, for they have kept themselves chaste. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These have been purchased from among men as first fruits to God and to the Lamb. Now, we are not saying that you should abandon your earthly family. 1 Timothy chapter 4, chapter 5, verse 4 and verse 8. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, they must first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and to make some return to their parents, for this is acceptable in the sight of God. Bible says that you should repay your parents. And it makes God happy to see that. And verse 8 says, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So Christians just abandoning their immediate family, they're worse than non-believer. That's what the Bible says. So God is not saying just abandon your earthly family. Because taking care of your earthly family and being a dutiful and grateful child to your parents is all pleasing to God. But you cannot love any of them more than Jesus Christ. That is sin. Luke chapter 14, verse 16 to the 27, 26 to the 27 and 33. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So then, none of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his own possessions. Yes, love your mom, love your dad, love your sister, love your brother, love your children and parents. It pleases God, but you cannot love them more than Christ. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, and he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and to follow me. You know, my children are here. My son, my daughter, they're here. But they must understand that if it is between God and me, then they must always choose God. You cannot obey your parents in sinning. And your children, you need to understand You have a higher authority that you must obey. And it's God. And if you have to make choice between your parents and God, well, don't waste even like more than 2 seconds to decide, because it has to be, must be God all the time. That's why the world will never understand Christianity. And it's not your earthly parents are your father and your mother, but God is your father. And I tell my children to do that. Follow Jesus. Don't follow me. That's why whatever they do, if they're doing it according to the word, I don't have anything to say, even though I don't like it sometimes. Because they are to follow God. The citizens of the kingdom of God. The world will never understand you. Matthew chapter 13, verse 42 to 46. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man find and hid again. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Jesus says, kingdom of heaven is like this. That somebody found a treasure in the field. And because it's a great value of treasure, he's so happy. And he goes back and he sells everything he has to have that money so that he could buy the land, so that he could have that treasure. Kingdom of God is just like that, God says. We live a life in which we sell everything we have just to possess Jesus Christ, to possess heaven. But see, only the people who knows the value of Christ will be able to sell all things he has to possess him. If your understanding of the value of Jesus is so low, then you will not sell everything you have, giving up your life to possess him. Of course not. I mean, the treasure you find in the field, if it's like $10, you're not going to die for it. You're not going to sell everything to just buy it. But what if a field is like $100, but the treasure hidden in it is $1 billion. Wouldn't you sell everything you have to buy that field? Of course you will. You're going to say stupid. You're going to call someone stupid not to do that. So how valuable is Jesus Christ to you? Are you willing to sell all you have, even your life, to possess that treasure, Jesus Christ? If Jesus is so valuable, not to do it is you being dumb. But how many people, even people who come to church, how many of them truly realize the value of Jesus Christ? That's why they have to struggle compared to my dad or Jesus. Oh, it's a big struggle. Why? Because to you, your dad's value and Jesus' value are about the same. That's why you struggle. But I'm telling you, Jesus' value is much greater. You just don't know it. And only by God's grace you will know the value of Christ. It's not something that comes naturally, sinfully, naturally. Isn't it why we have to struggle if it's between our parents and God? Because to you, the by you are the same. Really? Value of your parents and value of Jesus Christ, they're the same? Do you understand the gospel? Do you really get it? The problem is that the people just do not know the value of Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 through 9. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in Him. Paul says this. Once he realized the great value of Jesus Christ, he says that I am willing to lose all things, even my life, and count all that rubbish, so that I may gain Jesus Christ. Again, only the people who knows the value of Christ will do that. It's all about the value. Your understanding of the value of that object that you love. But brothers and sisters, to do this is to imitate Jesus Christ. This is what our Lord has done. Today's passage is all about Jesus Christ. God the Father has called Jesus Christ as the true fisher of men. And Jesus left everything and obeyed the Father's call. Our passage witnesses the reality of Jesus being the true fisher of men. And you and I too, we are also called by Jesus as the fishers of men. And Jesus Christ is the net that we use, His word. We fish God's people. And I told you so many times in the past, the story of man finding the treasure hidden in the field, and from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field, is actually a story of Jesus Christ. Treasure is you. Treasure is you, and to possess you, Jesus sold everything. He even gave His life to possess you. And this is what puzzles me. Because how much is my value that Jesus would do that? That I'm so valuable to Jesus. That He will do that. See, this is what you need to think. That you are so valuable to Jesus that Jesus will do that. But Jesus is not so valuable to you that you will not do that. Why is this? Why is it this way? Please think how the way you live is not proper. Realize it.
Jesus did that for you. He sold everything he had. He gave his life just to possess you. And yet you will not do the same for him.
Similarly, what Paul has said is also the story of Jesus. First, to possess Jesus Christ, Paul was willing to lose all things. But it is what Christ has done for Paul. To possess Paul, Jesus Christ was willing to lose his life. All God is saying is, love me like I love you. Just like you, Jesus does not love just one-way love. What if you love someone so much, but that's just you? You love that person, but that person doesn't love you. You will hate that. And Jesus does not like it either. Jesus loves you with his life, but you will not love him back the same way. All Jesus is saying is, let's truly love one another. And he loves you. But you will not love him. Don't you think Jesus deserves your love? The way that he loves you? We are called to participate in his life. You and I have been fished out of death by the work of the fishers of men that God has called. Now we work as the fishers of men to fish his chosen people using the net that is his word. And this is what our life is all about. You know, you are living out there in the world, and world forces you to think in their own terms. You think your life is being a teacher or being a nurse or being a doctor or being a lawyer. You think that's your life? No. Your job, God has given to you. Be, and I should not say be, right? You are a fisher of men. Even as a lawyer in your own field, God will use you as a fisher of men. Even as a nurse, he will use you as a fisher of men in your field. It's not about making money. That's not what your life is about. It's about being fisher of men. That's our job. And God called you to do that. And brothers and sisters, God has promised us, Matthew 19 verse 29, and anyone, everyone who has left houses and brothers and sisters, or father or mother or children or farms for my name's sake will receive many times as much and will inherit eternal life. If your choice was following Jesus Christ, or you abandon Christianity and follow your parents, God says if you left that parent because you have to come and worship and serve your God, in the church, look at how many moms and fathers you have, how many brothers we have in this, in Jesus Christ. God says you will receive, God says you will receive many times as much and will inherit eternal life.
Thank God, many of us, we don't have to make that decision. We don't have to choose. But even if we have to, we choose God. Even if it is my Father, He cannot tell me to sin, go against God's will. I will not listen to it. And I pray my son or my daughter will not listen to me if I tell them to go against God's will. Because for us, Jesus is everything. John chapter 10, verse 27 through 28, my sheep hears my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Well, I have a lot more to say about following Christ, how God calls us, but we will wait until Luke chapter 5, verse 27, when we see Jesus calling the Levi. There's another story that Jesus calling his disciples, so we'll wait until then. Because if I say all that, it will just take us too much time. But brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, God has already called us. And this is a lifetime call. And we need to follow Him every single moment of our lives. You don't just follow in the beginning, then a year later, somehow you don't follow anymore. That's not what we see in the Bible. Once you follow until you go home, which is heaven. And Christianity is not child's game. It's a serious thing. But it is worth it. It's truly worth it. You follow Jesus Christ all the way to heaven, and you will see one day how worth it was. Let us follow Him. Just leave everything and follow Him. Just like what we see in the Bible. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your grace. We thank You how You have called us. And by the work of the Holy Spirit, we responded to Your call and we follow You. Let us continue to follow You. Have our eyes focused on Jesus Christ. That we will not waste our time looking at other things, but only at Christ. Let us follow You all the way to heaven. Bless us, God, and receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.